Hello and welcome
Good
to Multiform.
Morning, Vietnam.
I'm leaving that in. Welcome to Multiform. Every week I get together with my friends to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. I'm all out of order now. You throw me off, Gus. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MultiformPod. What else? You can find our handles at the end of the show. And
this is episode 250.
Oh yeah, that's a milestone. We're at episode 250, and you know, it's almost, I wish 250 had been next week for the well, we're going to talk about it later, but the upcoming a bunch of showcases, the not E3 season begins.
Three
days from now. So excited about that. So next week's episode will be a big one, which of course means this week's episode is not quite as big, because a lot of the big news has been held until next week, because there's two major showcases. Actually, there's two major ones and several smaller ones with like the Devolver Digital and some of that smaller stuff. I think one of the PC showcases, maybe. It's going to be interesting this year, because since E3 is pulled back and not happening, I wonder if Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest is going to be bigger, or if it's still going to be like a third of it is mobile, Chinese, and free-to-play ads. So we'll see. Okay, so let's start with the games we've been playing. I will just go, because I don't really have much to say. I'm still playing Jedi Survivor. I'm now, I think, 25 hours in. I'm roughly 3/4 of the way through this story. I've been doing my best to talk to every character in the bar after every mission to try and unlock as many rumors as I can, which means that I have a bazillion side missions to do.
Tim, I need to send you the picture that I have of Mass Effect 2 before I went into, like, I think it was the suicide mission. And I had
That's
saved
funny.
Every single side mission that was
it's
possible. And it's like
until the
like,
end.
My galaxy map is littered with stuff. I'll send it to you real fast while you continue.
Well, I still have that famous screen capture of Assassin's Creed Unity after I beat the game, and the map is completely illegible by the number of icons on it.
Find
drives
that,
me nuts
it
to
the
this
group
day.
Me.
What?
Put that in the group me. Put
Which
them all
one?
In group you... me. Everything you just said.
Oh, the Ubisoft one I've sent to you numerous times. Every like year and a half, we bring it up
on
the podcast.
Unity, yeah. The Paris one, I forgot. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like,
because there were like the chests.
Makes your brain melt.
Yeah, the chests that were shared online would appear on there, and the co-op missions would appear on there. So like your map, which is like, all Assassin's Creed games are bad with the number of things on your map, but Unity was especially
bad. like the crescendo of that. I feel like it's gotten a little bit better each time.
Yeah, Gus just sent us his. It's pretty funny. It's just like dots and lines everywhere.
Yeah, there's all like overlapping each other. I mean, of course, you don't have. I think it's the traverse, the Attican traverse, is missing.
Well, the thing with Jedi Survivor is some of it, it's not worth going and exploring too much for rumors, because a bunch of them require you to get far enough into the campaign to unlock all the movement abilities
exactly.
to get to all parts of the map. Yeah. So one day I was like, oh, I'm gonna go do some side missions. And the first one I went to go do, I reached a red wall where it's like, you can't do this yet because you don't know that whatever it requires to get past this point. And I was like, this is very unsatisfying, because now I have to backtrack to get to the nearest save point to where I can fast travel back out of here rather than reversing everything I just did. You do unlock like the shortcuts along the way, so when you come back to do it again, it'll be easier, but you don't want to do things twice if you don't have to. So it's better to just wait until you have all the abilities, which I think I have them all. I think I have all the stuff that lets you get around the map now. I did a quick Google search, and it appears that that is the case. But I'm pretty sure I still have one chapter left of the game. It's a 6-chapter game, but that's what I found online, but it doesn't actually have chapters within the game itself. So I'm in the 6th of 6 chapters, according to a couple mission lists I found online without spoilers.
Mission log updated.
I am really curious, because I feel like the game could have been wrapped up here at the 3/4 point, and there is something is bound to happen, because it's obviously not over, but it could be over. So it doesn't.
So when can we get into spoilers that I saw for myself? When the game's not 6 weeks old?
Yeah. Well, like I mean, you we on the show or just texting me?
I don't know. Right now on the show.
No, because I'll probably finish it this week. Oh, crap. I might not. I have some business travel this week, so I won't be playing much.
Ooh, some business travel. Can you not play it via the cloud? Is it not cloud enabled yet?
It's not cloud enabled because it's not on Game Pass. It doesn't
when
have.
It's on EA Play in a few months. It will be in like a year.
And it's not PC cross save, so I can't play it on PC on the go either. And I'm not going to take my Series S because I'm not going to have enough downtime. Because
you're not that of a much of a nerd.
Well, I mean, I did take it with me to Florida, but I'm only going for 3 days, and it's business, so I'll be busy the whole time. So, so that's my update. It's just Jedi Survivor. Spencer, I'm going to toss it to you next. Although I see on your games you've been
playing.
Mine
is also not interesting.
Well,
that's
true, but you didn't list Forza that you unlocked the old F-150.
Oh yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, the Forza. We always like make up what this is called. I'm just going to call it the Forzathon 20 point car of the week. Was the 1986 Ford F-150 Lariat. I did unlock that. I did play enough of Forza Horizon 5 to get that because it's cool. Next week I think is like a 70s Chevrolet pickup truck of some kind, I think, maybe, I don't know. And then the week after that, like you were saying last week, Tim, is the Hummer
H2 or not H2, the
not
EV.
The H2, you know, that Hummer is funny EV. I'm surprised they haven't put one of the old school Hummers other than the H1 Alpha, like the H2 or the H3 or something.
The H1 I think was in one of the older ones, right?
Maybe. It's in, I mean, it's in Forza Horizon 5, the H1 is.
Oh,
but right. But
the H2 and the H3 are just SUV versions of a Hummer. Like they're not actually Hummers. They're reskinned GM cars.
Yeah, I don't think the H2. Well, the H2 I think was its own thing. It might have been on like the GMC Yukon like chassis, but that was it. It wasn't like a reskin. Like the H3, yes, the H3 was 100% like a Chevy Trailblazer.
Well, that's what I mean though. The H2 was just. The whole platform large SUVs. They just had a different body and interior on it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's fair.
But that's GM's mantra. They had like at that time they had seven brands that all used. Yeah, you know, like it's like a Saturn would look the same as a Chevy, as a GMC would look the same as a Hummer, and they all just had different body dropped on top of it.
I did play that. I'm getting a little excited randomly for Forza Motorsport just because of how good it's going to look, and I think. Having slightly more realistic driving will feel good because it's been so long. I think, 2017? Is it 2018? Is that when Forza Motorsport 7 came out? Was it 2018? It's got to be 2018.
Well, right? Aren't we coming up on the end of this year? Will be 2 years since the release of Forza Horizon 5, and it came out the year before that, so it was 3 years ago?
No, I think there was a gap.
You keep talking, I'll look it up.
2017. Wow. Dang.
Geez,
so
six years since the last motor. That feels insane. Yeah. Oh, you're right, because we had 2 years of Forza Horizon before that.
Yeah. Well, we had Forza Horizon 4. That came out in 2018, I think. Right? I don't know.
19 was the skip year. Yeah. And then 20 was, man.
I don't know. Either way.
Pandemic is like time travel. It's just like we skipped... collectively 2 years of our
lives. Forza Horizon 5 was 2021, so 19, 20, and 22 there are no new games. I'm getting a little excited for that. I'm excited because we'll probably hear more about it in the next week or so at the Xbox showcase, and probably get a release date. I'm gonna say October, that's my guess.
End of September is my prediction.
Not the same month as Starfield. Even though their audiences don't really overlap all that much, but anyways, yes. So I did play that. Play a little Jedi
Starfield's
Survivor.
Going to be delayed.
No, it's not. There's 0%.
It's going to come out in October or November.
0% chance. Not a chance.
We'll see.
No, there's no way. There's literally no way. When they delayed it previously, there weren't actual days announced. It was just like windows.
I know.
They're not
going to
delay it.
No AAA game announced in early fall ever releases on time. It always pushes a month or two because they know they can't because they just have to hit Black Friday. So I swear they're going to delay it another month or two.
Nope.
It's my prediction. Prediction.
Less than 1% chance it gets delayed again.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad we have some competition in this announcement.
Yeah, well, I won't be around next week for you to push around.
Yeah, you're going to be out
next
week.
You won't have me to kick around.
That's fine. I can just make fun of you in your absence for being wrong.
Except I won't be. There's no way. It's too big of a deal. They're not going to be like, blah, 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 the gameplay, all, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, it's delayed a month. Yes, Gus.
Delayed 1 month. I can't wait for it to be a 2024 release.
Now that.
You guys are all wrong.
Yeah, now that we don't agree on. That's no way that's happening.
Are you sure about that?
Are you sure about that?
I feel like we've guys seen games get pushed back
closer. Did you guys see your reports? I think it was Zelda that was internally delayed an additional year just for polish. Yeah. So they polished it for an entire year. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because I feel like that's what happened with Halo Infinite. They wanted it to release that one fall, and then they delayed it a whole year, and they still ended up in okay shape, but not like it didn't blow anyone's socks off.
And we talked about this before about like half of Bethesda games' charm is how buggy they are.
Well,
true,
or can be. I mean, like, because I mean, like that's like,
yeah, but there's like, a difference
people
between
love the bugginess and the glitches jank that come with Bethesda games. Yeah, Bethesda jank.
Yeah, but there's a difference between jank and broken. Like, not
well, broken. Right, right. And
like, I mean, putting a coffee cup on a table and it's spinning on its edge for no reason, that's funny. Putting a coffee cup on a table in the game and it deletes all your saves, not funny.
That would be amazing.
That's hysterical, Tim. That's the prank of the century.
I mean, funny for everyone else, maybe.
Prank. Like
me saving over saves in Skyrim, funny.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Have it's we ever on the podcast else talked about if we've ever lost a save? I feel like I've told that story before.
Hundreds of times.
Gus has talked about how he saved over his Skyrim saves like
multiple times, like people that are like level like 40.
My memory card crashed
dozens of hours
on my PS2 for Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Oh yeah, like probably more than that. Probably like over a day played, honestly, like play like characters.
Okay, so Spencer, yeah.
Next game I played, I played a little Jedi Survivor. I think my philosophy with Jedi Survivor is it's my kind of derp around when I'm feeling like a game of the summer. Just as long as I beat it before Starfield, because it's good, but I'm not like, I haven't been like pulled in yet. Maybe I'll get pulled in and my mindset will change, but so far I'm just kind of like, this is good. But I mean, like, it's not amazing. I don't know. So that's kind of the way I feel with it. It's just, it's fun, I guess. I think Hogwarts is better, believe it or not. I mean, maybe that's a controversial opinion, but I think Hogwarts is better of the two as far as third person open world or semi open world adventure games.
No, I think most people would agree with you, especially since like even I've said before I'm playing in the 30 FPS mode because the 60 FPS mode is absolutely ridiculously bad. Not only does it not hit 60, but the rendering resolution is so low that it's just a smudgy mess. But the upscaling stuff they use, this is the only real like major flaw I have with it, is in motion, especially when I wall run on a OLED VRR display, there's like very obvious like ghosting, smudging when I move and wall run, because it doesn't know how to render the wall when you're running behind it, because it's using AI to upscale that, but like your feet are not a predictable movement or something, so it just doesn't know what to do. So there's this weird, like, it's almost like a ripple in time that follows you when you wall run, and it's very distracting.
Yeah, no, I have seen, I don't remember what I'm in, but I have seen that a little bit.
The 30 FPS is default, so unless you manually switch,
that might be what I stayed on, I don't remember.
But it's even worse than the 60, so it doesn't even matter because it just lowers the resolution. So the upscaler has to do even more work from a lower rendering resolution. It just, no matter what, it just looks bad.
Yeah,
but
so,
the game still looks okay. I did turn off motion blur and what do they call it? The fuzziness, film grain. Yeah,
I think
and that
I
did
that
improve it
just because of your comments. I think I turned all that off, but I don't remember. Probably did, because I haven't noticed anything like that. I'm trying to think, like, obviously Diablo 4 came out this week, but I'm going to wait till that's on Game Pass in 2024 to play that. I'm interested. Obviously, it's in the zeitgeist right now. People are freaking out about it. It's like the greatest thing ever, but I can wait, I think. The other thing that I played was I played NCAA Football 11 again, which is actually like all I played today. I played several hours. Mostly because
you're playing that on an actual 360, right?
Yeah, my Star Wars 360.
Because none of the sports games are back compat.
Right.
No.
Yeah, so I played a lot of that today, actually. Got to the Big Ten Championship game in my Dynasty mode. But yesterday when I was playing it, after I was done playing it, I was going through my downloaded games on my 360. Because I have some installed games, like Battlefield 3 you had to install. I think I installed Skyrim so that maybe it would run smoother back in the day. But like I have a handful of games that I bought digitally back in the day. Just said back in the day twice, now three times. And Midnight Club LA Complete Edition, I fired that up.
I love that so much when it came out. That game, retroactively, it looks so ridiculous.
That game like is so inventive. Like it even has some features in it that I wish Forza had. Like for example, and I guess Forza kind of does this, but when you hit pause, it like just zooms the map out and then it zooms the map back in, almost like GTA, which it's Rockstar, so go figure. And then the other thing is when you go to your garage, it's kind of like how in Forza you drive up to your house, you know, and then you hit start and you go into the garage or whatever. It's kind of like that, but it almost felt like a slightly more seamless in a way. I don't really know how to describe it that well. I mean, I only played this for like 10 minutes, but my biggest two takeaways were the whole idea of the map kind of zooming in and out. And like when you would go to like gas stations or your garage, like that would be on, like it would be like living on the map. It was kind of cool. And the other thing is all of the amount of licensed, well, all the cars are licensed, but the amount of vehicles on the road, like is a ton, significantly more than Forza's ever had. And I thought that was cool. Like there's actual traffic, which I guess that's kind of part of the vibe of that game. Like it's like Need for Speed, but even Need for Speed doesn't have, even the new current Need for Speed doesn't have the amount of cars on the road as this game did. But that's kind of the vibe, like this whole street racing and trying to like weave through traffic. That's kind of the vibe of that game. But whereas Forza isn't really like that. But I was like, this is kind of cool. Like I kind of wish there was a little bit more traffic, especially in like the villages, like in Forza Horizon 5, especially in like the villages or like the towns, like more traffic would be kind of cool. Not during races, obviously, but just when you're free roaming. I don't know. I've always thought that the world's kind of felt a little dead in that respect in Forza, but...
What is the middle of nowhere in Mexico?
I mean, all five of the Horizon games, I feel like... I mean, yeah. It'd be annoying. I say that, and of course I would be pissed if I was driving and there's just cars everywhere. But I noticed it. It was something I noticed, and I was like, this is kind of neat. And then, like, I'm in traffic, and there's, like, a Prius. And then, like Camry and like all these like licensed real world vehicles. And I'm like, this is cool. Obviously, we've talked about how like Best Buy and Monster also had like sponsorships in that game, which is kind of cool. But in GameStop, I think. But
quick aside about the like random NPC vehicles in Forza. Do you remember? I can't remember which Horizon it was. It might have been 2 or 3 where they wanted you to take a picture of every car in the game.
Yeah, every game has it.
And that included the NPC like the, cars.
Yeah, that you couldn't actually get, like the Toyota
like,
Camry.
That you couldn't actually, yeah, it was like, that's like random little ones. It's like, so it's like you would take a picture, like the did first not picture know
that.
You would take.
I think that was
it
the
had,
second
like,
one.
Other cars in it, it would like count towards that progress because yeah. it's like box trucks.
Yep. I think that was two.
I don't know why I always think about that when I play Horizon.
That has to be so hard to complete because
I was like, I remember seeing it, I was like, you cannot be serious.
Because there's some cars that are so hard to get, and that would mean you'd have to have them randomly show up in a race.
I mean like the random cars driving around.
Yeah, I'm just talking the current one, like the 700 and whatever cars.
Yeah. Even that would be hard.
It's only 400, Spencer's indicating. 424.
That's
seven.
Seven.
Zero. Four. 704. He knew that right offhand. He must.
I only know that because I saw it yesterday. Because I have 504 of 704 when you sort of the car.
You have 504 pictured?
Individual cars. Oh, no. This isn't pictured. I'm talking about the car collection. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I own like that many or more. But by the way, I was looking at our hours played. You have two more days played in Forza Horizon 5 than I do. But I've played both of the DLCs and you haven't.
Yeah, I haven't finished the rally one. That's funny. So. Probably just from derping around. I've probably done more of the weekly Forzathon challenges than you have.
I only do that when it's a cool car that I want.
Yeah, there's a period like last year when I was just doing them every single week because it was a new car that I didn't have. But now I'm at the point where I'm just like, I 1986 F-150, I'll get out of bed for that. But
yeah, I'm going to get out of bed for the Hummer EV because that car is dope in real life.
But I'm mad because I missed the weeks when it was the CT4V and the CT5V Blackwings and also the Nissan Patrol. I'm like, every time I get on, I go to the auction block to see if any of them are for sale. And of course, they never are, except the CT4 was finally this week. And there's like four of them listed and they're all listed for like 20 million credits. So I'm like, okay, well, guess I'm never getting that car. Oh, well.
Yeah. It's like how I missed in Forza Horizon 4, I missed the Colorado, what was it, off-road version. And eventually I think I got it, but I forget how. Yeah. Okay. Gus, I think we're moving on to you. And in continuing trend, you got up to the usual Gus-isms this week. Yeah. Although you did have a notable thing to share. World of Warships Legends. What did you accomplish?
I don't know.
You hit 1,000 gamer score.
Oh yeah, I completed the final achievement, which was unlock and install all modifications on a tier 7 Japanese or German ship.
And it took you 700 hours. How many hours did I say? I totaled it up. I know you weren't trying to get 1,000.
Yeah,
it just happened naturally.
Yeah, I saw that it was a thing, so I started playing the Nisenau more. I already had a tier 6 ship, which is the Nisenau. The German battleship, and I was like, I have always wanted the Bismarck, but I hadn't really. And when I saw that I was that close, I was like, you know, I'll keep playing this thing. And so I played it and got it. But yeah, I actually have made quite. I mean, it's basically the only. I mean, I've been deep. I mean, I've always been deep in World of Warships, but I feel like I've been like deeper than usual the last few weeks because I've like unlocked like multiple ships. But I don't spend money on the game. So like I kind of
need to get them
there.
As a sponsor.
Yeah. For real. But they kind of just sit there. And I can't buy them cause I don't have the money to buy them. cause like the regular in-game currency, not their premium currency. I have ships that give me more, regular currency, but I don't play them as much. But yeah, I don't know. I've just been really enjoying it, all in on it. I've actually been listening to a podcast Spencer put me on called Supernova in the East by Dan Carlin. That is very interesting and is kind of talking about all of the like World War II war in the Pacific. So like I'm like all in on like Navy stuff right now.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a World of Warships Legends podcast. And I'm like, how does that exist? And then you're like, oh, no, it's a history podcast. And I'm like,
I mean, a World of Warships podcast might exist, but a World of Warships Legends one, probably not.
Well, I'm looking at, you're right, I bet. World of Warships.
I feel like there's enough content, like with Twitch streamers, like instead of a podcast, you would just either follow their newsletter or follow one of their. Not like developers, but like content creators.
Well, there is a an official podcast, apparently.
For World of Warships?
Yeah, they have an official one. I'm looking to see if there's an unofficial one.
Yeah, there might be.
I don't know why I care, though. There is another one called Get to Know World of Warships, hosted by Bogsy and Borla. And it has 92 episodes. So
yeah.
It says a brief podcast where Bogsy and Borla chat with a guest about World of Warships.
Interesting. Yeah,
and they have a Discord.
There are people
Spotify.
Who are much more in on World of Warships than I am. I follow the I'm on the World of Warships Legends Reddit, and Spencer doesn't believe me when I say there was a picture of a guy, his account. It looked like a developer's account because of how many premium days, premium currency, and like regular currency that he had was like an astronomically large number, and he had like pretty much every ship in the game. That had come out so far, and it was because he spends money on playing the game, and then this has to be thousands. I mean, I mean that thousands of dollars.
Well,
spent on this game,
look, if I had whale money, or you know, let's say if I made $500,000 a year, and the game that the game I enjoyed most was a free to play game, yeah, I'd just buy everything.
I would just buy everything so I could have everything. I don't know, me personally, and I've had this problem before where I'll play games and I get really into them, spend a bit of money on them, and then I bought something, and then now it's like it almost like it sucks the fun out of the game. Not because like whatever I buy is really good or anything, but it's like I have to be always working towards something. Otherwise, I just get bored with it. And so, yeah. Like if I get a ship that I really want and I can just pay for it, then I'm like, I mean, I play it a few times and then it slowly just kind of like tapers off.
I'm like the opposite of the kind of customer they want, because for the most part, I almost exclusively don't care about cosmetics at all. Like I played hundreds of hours of Apex Legends and rarely bought, I think I bought one or two season passes.
Yeah, Spencer and I were talking about it, and even just like from a regular customer standpoint, like I the thing is with, and I feel like I've touched on it before on World of Warships, and this can kind of be more of like a general note on mostly just wargaming, the people who make the game, and then also kind of the free-to-play games in general, is that you basically have to have a premium account if you want to play ships definitely tier 7 and higher, and usually tier 6 and higher, because the thing is that they have what's called ship service. When you take the ship out, it doesn't matter how much damage you receive. You could receive none. It's like oh, you're paying for the gas and to like rearm the ship. And the problem is you don't usually make enough money in these tier 7 games, definitely, and usually sometimes these tier 6 games, to actually make up your ship service cost. So you can actually, there's a chance that way you could play a tier 7 game, and if you don't have enough money for the ship service, you cannot play the vehicle until you get enough in-game currency to play it, which is like ridiculous. I've had it happen like once to me before, and it's just like so annoying. It's like such, but you have to, like I said, if you have a premium account, it's not an issue because you make more money, you get more experience, and it's not like super expensive to get premium days. But it's just like another little add-on.
Yeah,
and lots of times when you complete certain like weekly challenges or whatever, they'll give you free premium time. So it's not like you can only get it by buying it. Like it can be awarded to you, which is nice. And recently I've been getting doubloons, which is the premium currency.
Yep.
From challenges, and I've used. My girlfriend was gone this weekend. She was in Chicago, and at the Taylor Swift concert. And so what I did was I bought about 2 whole days of premium time with the currency I had earned. And I went ham on World of Warships Friday night, yesterday, all day Saturday, and like the first half of today, Sunday, like just going absolutely crazy, playing the crap out of it, like making up experience, getting free XP, making money. Spencer actually played with me yesterday for a little bit. They have a special game mode right now called Brawl. And they're very quick games, 3-on-3. Guns do more damage. They're less accurate. And ships, these battleships, move like twice as fast as they usually do. So you're like rolling around in like a large battleship going 50 knots, which is like 60-something miles an hour,
so,
I think.
Final thought on this topic. That podcast that I found, Get to Know World of Warships, hosted by Bogsy and Borla. They call it, the description says, a brief podcast with Bogsy and Borla chat with guests about World of Warships. So they call it a brief podcast. Guess the length of each episode. They've done 92 episodes. You're pretty close. 2 hours on average.
Yeah.
2 hours is a brief podcast to them. That is not brief to me.
The hardcore history ones that Spencer recommended to me, it's a 6-part podcast right now on this particular topic. And each episode is well over 3 hours long. The finale is 6 hours long.
That's crazy. Every podcast,
the third episode was 5 hours long. Like it's
every
it's
podcast
crazy.
I listen to except for one is an hour.
It's like a hard. It's like a history lecture almost. Which is cool.
When I used to commute to an office, I drove 30 minutes each way, and I would listen to one podcast each day. So I had 5 podcasts a week. I would listen to one each day of the week. In my commute. Anyway, we've gone longer than normal on what we've been playing.
Like I said, I just wanted to touch a bit on World of Warships just because it is kind of like an industry standard to make progression very hard unless you pay.
I feel like they're
free-to-play games
closer to mobile free-to-play than they are to like
Fortnite, Apex, it runs PUBG. Rampant. Like it's crazy. Like mobile is like ridiculous.
Let's not get into it.
Yeah, we won't.
Anyway. Okay, let's talk some news. And like I said, I think the big news is being held for next week for Summer Game Fest and, or is that right? Yeah, that's the right name. And Xbox Game Showcase and Starfield Direct. So this week, number one, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged has been announced. And so this is the sequel to Hot Wheels Unleashed. I played it. I think Spencer played it. We'll talk about Spencer's thoughts here in a second. The quick synopsis of what they're adding to the sequel is they're adding jumps, like the ability to jump with your car and do lateral side-to-side dashing. They're adding motorbikes and ATVs. They're also adding a new class system. So now cars will be... Their blog said they were going to categorize cars into five categories, but then they listed six. So that didn't make sense to me. But the classes are Rocket, Balanced, Swift, Drifter, Off-Road, and Heavy Duty. So Rocket is fast. Balanced is obvious. Swift is like light and nimble. Drifter is drift. Off-Road is off-road. And Heavy Duty is any of the big stuff like off-road trucks and, or not off-road, like monster trucks and big semi vans and things. They also are adding a new skill system, and they say they'll have 130 cars at launch. So I liked Hot Wheels Unleashed 1. I thought it was a great arcade racer. It didn't grab me to like stick with it to play through the entirety of the game. It's more like just a casual thing that I jumped into, and I haven't installed to play with my kids. But I did find it to be a very competent game. So I am excited that they're getting to do a sequel, because it means that this was financially viable, and hopefully this means the games continue to improve. I don't know. Spencer, yeah. Thoughts?
No, I kind of thought the same thing as you did about the first one. It was pretty well done, I think, especially as Hot Wheels games go. I think maybe could have had a little bit more character to it, like better music, more interesting tracks. Because I guess the idea they were going for was like the, you know, you're playing in your basement or like you're playing on actual Hot Wheels track sets. Whereas kind of the old Hot Wheels games that I'm used to playing from the PS2 era were like you were driving Hot Wheels cars like in real life. Kind of like Forza's Hot Wheels expansions, I guess, in a way. Very similar to that. And obviously, you know, it's difficult for them to do something like that. That would require a much higher budget than what they were doing. Because it was like you were driving the actual Hot Wheel cars, which was cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to say. I think it's cool they're getting a sequel with a little bit of diversity here, or kind of this new idea of classification for vehicles, because that wasn't in the first one.
I'm pulling the blog back up or the Xbox post, because did they give a release date or a timeline?
I don't know, but...
It says we still have a lot more to share, so stay tuned for more news coming soon.
Yeah, the first one is on Game Pass, so it's definitely worth checking out if you've got Game Pass to kind of get the feel for it. Because, yeah, I mean, it was decent enough. I played it like basically in an afternoon. I played a few hours of it. I was like, all right, that's fine. Because, yeah, it wasn't as deep, I think. It was kind of really a wide, what is the saying, like wide is the ocean but shallow is a puddle, kind of like that, maybe that kind of a vibe. Like there was a lot there, just wasn't all that interesting maybe, but that was just my experience, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I think it definitely was a competent all ages arcade racer, right? And it felt like almost from a modern take on it, arcade racers of the like PS2 generation kind of thing. The DLC was a little, you know, they did the DLC like car pass thing, but there were multiple of them. So that got a little complex, because if you bought the Ultimate Edition is on Game Pass, and when you install that, the number of DLCs it downloads with it is kind of high, which is kind of annoying. But I mean, that's almost the way anything is these days. I mean, Forza has a car pass. Gran Turismo 7 is adding cars all the time. I don't know if those are paid or free, but you know, it's nothing is just a game anymore. It's always just a service that sells more things. I don't know what more I want from it. Like, I think it was what I wanted. If anything, I just want them to bring more Hot Wheels cars. But 130, if you think about it, really isn't that many in the grand scheme of how many cars Hot Wheels made over the years.
And we just said Forza has 704 unique cars.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, like, what cars are you going to pick? Like, there's a lot of iconic Hot Wheels cars, but then if you've ever gone and looked at the Hot Wheels cars in the aisle at the toy store or at your local mega store or whatever, or actually, I was at a discount store the other day, I think it was yesterday, and they had a toy aisle, and I went down just to check it out, let my kids look around, and I looked at the Matchbox and Hot Wheels cars, and I was surprised at the number of cool cars, like modern cars that they had for Hot Wheels, because you'd think, you know, a dollar store type thing, that it would just be absolute crap stuff that gets sent to those stores, but it must be totally random. But they also had the, you know, like Hot Wheels designer stuff that is just not real cars. And some of it is just like, you know, heinous, like no one wants to be this car kind of stuff. So I don't know, 130 cars. I don't know how I feel. That feels like a low number to me, but I actually don't know how many were in the first, and I only played as one car the entire time. So
I was going to say, there's a lot. Like you said, there was like 19 DLC for that because it was the Game of the Year version or whatever it was called. And yeah, that was like part of my calculus on if I wanted to keep it installed or not. Cause I was like, I don't want to have to deal with sitting here. Cause when I did it, for some reason, it didn't install manually all of the cars. So I had to do that myself. And yeah.
60 cars in the launch version of the original game. So it's double that. So that is impressive. I wonder how many of those are carry forwards from the game and its DLC though, but still cool nonetheless. And you know, they obviously put the one on Game Pass that probably ties into this releasing later this year, drum up interest, help drive sales. So yeah, I think that's good on that. So number two is going to be our Activision Blizzard King acquisition roundup for the week. The two updates this week are, one, South Korea has been the latest jurisdiction to approve the acquisition, and they had no stipulations, so theirs was just a blanket approval. The second piece of news related to the acquisition is there's a rumor, or I'm not sure if it's like Microsoft's actually considering this or if it's pundits and analysts saying this could be how it goes down. But there's some hyperbole, or not hyperbole, some hypothesis or rumor that Activision would pull out of the United Kingdom to circumvent the CMA blocking the acquisition, and that they would just distribute their games in the UK via a distributor, and that would be the way, the like worst case scenario to get the acquisition approved, since it's approved in 38 or 39 other, just maybe even 40 now, other places. This would be the one place. And the reason I want to bring this up, because we don't know if it's true or if it'll really happen, is because I think it's kind of like a duh, because like I keep saying over and over and over again, Microsoft has $2 or $3 billion contract break clause on this. So how much money will you realistically lose by pulling out of UK and using a distributor in Europe to distribute your games there versus the cost of the $2 billion? I did see some legal analysis that it seems like Activision would have to choose to pull out of the UK to get the deal done, because Microsoft doesn't control them until the acquisition is complete. So like Activision would have to say, okay, we want to be acquired, so we're going to do this part of this to get it done. And so the $2 billion break clause that I talk about on the Microsoft side isn't really an incentive, since it would have to be Activision that takes the step here to get the deal done. But it seems like a no-brainer. Like if that's the only jurisdiction, the UK is a big games market, but they're not as big as the rest of Europe and the United States. Or, and I'm not sure how they compare to Japan, but I would think they're less than Japan potentially.
Yeah.
So
they're a lower population than Japan, so probably.
Yeah, but I think Xbox disproportionately succeeds higher in the West. So
The Xbox in Japan is not great. But,
and Activision also, their games probably disproportionately do better in the West. But that might not be true, because World of Warcraft, I'm not sure what their global adoption is. But anyway, I keep saying the same thing over and over again. This is going to go through. It's just a question of when And I don't think it's going to come to this. I don't think they're going to have to pull out of the UK, but I think they're going to be willing to. Spencer?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they'll be willing to set up some sort of distribution deal to get around that, which is kind of funny if you think about it, that would even potentially work. Because just to me, it's like Microsoft seems willing to do just about anything to get this deal done at this point. Considering all the deals that they've cut, all the concessions that they've made, you know, X, Y, and Z thing down the line. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they worked out some sort of deal. It's kind of a go around, but something tells me they probably won't have to do that. I feel like, I don't know. It's like, to me, if everybody, like if the FTC changes their tune and they're like, okay, yeah, this is fine. And it's just the CMA that's, you know, been the one voice in the West that's like, no. I feel like they almost would have to reconsider their decision. I know Microsoft's appealed, so they'll get a chance to reconsider it. But
and they're going to state their case in July, I believe, is the tentative timeline. So that's next month.
So, yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like even if the CMA is the one voice that says no, I feel like the deal still gets done. It's going to happen. And if they had to,
I feel like it would be different if it was UK or I'm sorry, EU or the FTC in the US. Like that's a bigger deal for either of them to block it. And even then that would go to appeal and concessions and making whatever needs to be done to get the deal done.
Yeah. So I don't know. I want it to happen so I can play Diablo 4 on Game Pass.
I don't see what Microsoft sees in this. I know they want to bolster mobile and some other stuff, but I keep praying that they have some unannounced IP that's going to become a new exclusive and that's going to be worth it, because I think Activision,
but they can't have exclusives, Tim. Not with
they
Activision.
Can't, no, they can't take away things that already exist, like Call of Duty.
I know.
But they can take the new things.
But that's people are worried about exclusives, though, too, because they're idiots.
Yeah, I think, actually, you know, the biggest mistake I think Xbox is making is that they completely backed away from exclusives. Like, it's great that they're putting stuff on PC, but remember, some of the best exclusive games in the 360 and PS3 generation were on Xbox, and those were deals they made or people that chose to be on Xbox because it was the platform. Mass Effect 1 exclusive, Bioshock 1 exclusive, just like tons of bangers. And now it feels like the only games that are exclusive, it's because the publisher is choosing to put it on Xbox first and it just comes to PlayStation later. They're not like buying exclusivity anymore, which Microsoft publicly walked away from. But the problem is you need exclusives to drive the viability and health of your ecosystem. More people being in the ecosystem is good for everyone. And
that's their whole like standpoint though, right now, Tim.
I know it goes against
can't have exclusives and go against, it would go against everything that they're touting right now as Microsoft. It's gamers, games for all gamers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then PlayStation is tying up exclusives left and right.
Like stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I don't. Activision Blizzard update of the week. The end. Number 3. This is a minor update. Ubisoft confirmed that Avatar, I almost said Way of Water. Avatar, what's it called? Frontiers of Pandora.
The Way of Water, though.
Assassin's Creed Mirage and the Crew Motorfest, plus a new game, will all be featured at Ubisoft Forward. So their teaser had those four games featured. So there's not much to know about what this fourth game could be. And I never get excited about Ubisoft teasing a new announcement for a big AAA game, because every time I do, they're like, oh, here's Steep, or here's Just Dance 2027, or here's Rayman Raving Rabbids Cross Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, it's just like, I want AAA mature shooters and action adventure and RPGs, and anytime they give an ambiguous like a new game will be announced, it's always something that is not exciting for me. It's exciting for somebody, I'm sure. But I find it hard to believe there's a hardcore Just Dance audience that is. I mean, I know the game sells gangbusters, but
it's every Dave and Buster's across the country that buys the like big arcade sets.
Yeah, those, but like there has to be some other fan base that buys
DDR
in the
Dance
millions.
Dance Revolution. I remember in middle school we used to like set that up on like Fridays and at lunchtime, and people could play it. It would be at like the like just outside, like where the concession stand is at.
That's funny. You know, I've actually never played DDR. Indoors.
I don't know what I want from Ubisoft right now. I mean, I'd like Rainbow Six to get a serious look again, but that feels as far away as ever.
Yeah, I almost laughed out loud. I mean, I did. I laughed out loud. Rainbow Six Extraction.
Rainbow Six Vegas 3.
That wasn't yours?
No. Or like
Ubisoft has lost its way on every franchise currently.
Well, there's so many Tom Clancy IP that, but none of them feel like, I mean, Splinter Cell, technically, there's a remake out there, but
allegedly
compare that to the KOTOR remake. I mean, is it real? I mean, the KOTOR remake's never happening. I'm just gonna say that's never coming out. But
yeah,
but yeah, it's like between Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, and Splinter Cell, it's like, man, how do you fumble just like three iconic franchises so badly? You know, it's wild because none of them. It really feels like Tom Clancy is just dead. Other than I guess The Division.
Well, they canceled that Ghost Recon
Tom Clancy
multiplayer
is dead,
game.
So.
They canceled
RIP.
They canceled the Ghost Recon multiplayer game. They renamed X Defiant to not be a Tom Clancy game, but incorporate some Tom Clancy stuff into some of their, like, whatever they're called, their Defiance in the game.
X-Defiant?
I think the Defiance are the name of the characters. That's their whatever. And what other ones? Rainbow Six Extraction seems like it was dead in the water, as all the co-op extraction shooters from the last 2 years seem to be. And then what other, the only Rainbow Six or the only Tom Clancy game that has had any success in the last 5 years has been Siege, and that's obviously
The Division 2.
Yeah, okay, sure. Modern, but the last success. Time it had a release was three, four years ago.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah, and then the new one we could hear about, but I don't know.
Heartland, so, that's
the free to play one. So that scares me a little bit too.
Yes.
Okay. Number four. Yeah. EA and Nike announced a partnership for NFTs in their games, their sports games specifically. So this is based on Nike's Dot Swoosh platform, which is their NFT platform for non-fungible tokens. For collectible digital shoes and other merchandise that can be used in video games and blah, blah, blah. I bring this up because it was announced, one, two, it's a slow news week, and three, because I thought we as a gaming culture collectively pushed back hard enough that we got NFTs obliterated and nuked into Mars.
As a culture, yeah. we proved that NFTs were folly.
Yeah.
And here, EA didn't hear it loud enough, apparently.
That's EA for you.
I feel like EA is in a bit of a resurgence of like not being up their own.
In what way?
Anymore. Like, I don't know. All the stuff that got them the most hated company, which obviously is hyperbole.
What have they released recently that has changed your mind?
Now that you're making me think through it, I can only think of bad examples because I'm like Battlefront 2.
2042 was abysmal.
Jedi Survivor, yeah, but okay, anything Respawn touches is gold.
Yeah, it seems like Respawn has quite a bit of autonomy from EA.
Yeah, but you're also right there. The new Battlefield wasn't great. The last Battlefront wasn't great.
Hey, Anthem, by the end of its lifespan, it was a very fun game. But the problem is, it's like, I hate how long it takes for people to get things right. And I don't know if that's because we as a gaming community have kind of like gotten to the point where like we're almost like film critic snobs, where nothing that comes out like is like, because it seemed like during like the 360 era, like, and even before that, like PlayStation 2 and Xbox, like PlayStation 2, Xbox, 360, PS3, like games were like blowing our minds every single time we had like they had the big fall releases. Like, I mean, it was like all like awesome, crazy, new, fun, like we were all in on board. And now it's like maybe it's because it's too commercialized now, and people saw too much money to be made in it, and now that has kind of taken away from that. But and I feel like NFTs are also even part of that. It's like it was just like another new way for companies to try to push something to sell. And like, it's just sad now.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of talk in other like YouTubers and podcasters and industry analysts about how we're currently in this phase of, we went through that phase where everything was being delayed, right? And it's still going on. But now we're in this phase where every game that comes out is absolutely a buggy mess at launch.
Yeah, like Gollum.
Gollum, but not even just Gollum. Like Jedi Survivor had major problems at launch. Yeah. Even Horizon Forbidden West had like a shimmering issue at launch.
I remember
Gotham Knights couldn't hold 30 FPS and didn't have a 60 FPS mode.
Had a very shaky launch day.
So did Battlefield 4. Remember that? Yeah. The servers didn't work at all.
They got them turned around so quickly.
Yeah, but
the thing is, those were all like server connection issues. Like it had nothing to do. Like the games that are being released now, like just it's like they just aren't finished.
Yeah, I know. And I will say, I know that games are more complex than they've ever been because the fidelity and the processing and stuff is way more than it's ever been. So games have higher budgets, longer timelines. Like being a game dev has probably never been harder than it is right now.
Yeah,
but on the other side of the fence, on our consumer side, consumers have a right to a product that works when they spend their money. And
I don't know. I guess it's
I want to move on.
You're good. It's just like, it's frustrating as a gamer, you know, to get, because it like is. You have these long, like even like the long awaited games don't always pan out the way you want them to. And it's like, it's almost like it just isn't fun anymore. Maybe I'm getting old.
Yeah, and it's sad because also a lot of reviews and digital analysis happen at launch and not a lot of places go back and re-review games 3 months later. So to get a feedback, if you saw a game you were interested in, but at launch the reviews and everything were really poor and you're like, okay, I'm going to wait and see if bugs fix this, then you have to go dig into the forums or Reddit 3 months after launch to talk to people that played the game more recently to see if they have had a better experience, and then you don't know what you're getting, because at least with a reviewer, like if you have a YouTuber you like and you watch all of their reviews, you know that person's opinion and their taste, so you know what you're getting. But when you go to a forum to get something and you just kind of look at the general consensus from a bunch of strangers, you don't know what those people like. You don't know anything about them. So like I occasionally go and read the patch notes for Gotham Knights because I want to know if they're ever going to fix that game to make any drastic changes to the gameplay and or give it a 60 FPS mode. I don't think that game can be saved with patches without an extensive rework, and it's not going to happen, but I mean, I am curious as I'm following it to see what, if anything, is ever done. I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, I feel like the big thing is that I think they're just, the games to now are too complex, I think, like you said. Like before, I feel like games are very like simple, linear, fun, and now everybody like wants these massive like sandbox style games, like open world, and it kind of takes away from what could have been probably a good game if it was just much smaller. And that's why I feel like these indie games like get more credit now, because they have a smaller budget, so they are inherently smaller and they're more
and
fun,
they're more creative.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like every the bigger game is third person action open world bloat.
Yeah,
not very creative.
It's just like information.
Yeah.
But I digress. Anyway, we can continue.
Okay, moving on. NFTs. We all agree NFTs don't belong in games.
Yeah, equal bad.
So, or if you're going to implement them, it better be free. It better not take away from anything else. And it better just be like a cool collectible that you get in the game.
I'm kind of shocked that of all places, MLB The Show did not do NFTs like as part of player cards.
I honestly think the only reason is because right now it's a toxic PR issue, and Ubisoft and EA have dived in a little bit and it hasn't been received well. And if it had taken off when Ubisoft put it in Ghost Recon Breakpoint and become the new it thing, every developer would be trying to add it right now. So the only ones that are the ones that are the big publishers that can afford to tinker and see if it, you know, gets them a bump in revenue. I have no doubt that this is going to get added to a couple of EA Play sports games, and it's going to be gone within 2 years, unless Nike is giving them money to implement it to drive their platform.swoosh or whatever it is. I don't know if it's the dot is pronounced. It's spelled dot swoosh, but I don't know if it's just supposed to be swoosh. Either way,
like period swoosh.
Yeah, like period like swoosh is how it is written, the Nike NFT platform. But I'm not sure if you're just supposed to ignore the period or decimal point, whatever you want to call it, and say swoosh.
I bet it's just like a stylization thing.
Yeah, but I don't know though, because their logo is also referred to as the swoosh. So I don't know if they actually
can continue.
Yeah. Okay, number five. This is just a fun little one to talk about. The Witcher 3 has now sold 50 million copies, and the franchise of the three games has sold 75 million, which means the third game has sold double the amount of the first two games combined. And this now means The Witcher 3 is in the top 10 best-selling games of all time. Number one and number two being Minecraft and Grand Theft Auto 5. And Tetris might be up there. I always forget if Tetris is in the top three. But then, yeah, it's definitely in the top 10. I'm going to look up the top
10. Yeah, Tetris is, because I think GTA passed it. Or it has, the only thing it hasn't passed. I thought Tetris was first.
I'm going to look it up right now. The 10 best-selling video games of all time.
Either way, last week was the eighth anniversary of The Witcher 3. It's a good game. Still haven't installed from the next-gen update, even though I stopped playing it.
Okay, here they are. That, though. This is reported by IGN. It came up first on Google. This is as of May 2023, so it's been updated recently. I don't know about that, though. Super Mario Brothers, 48 million. Overwatch, 50 million. Wow, Overwatch sold 50 million copies. That's nuts. Number eight is Witcher 3 Wild Hunt at over 50 million, so slightly more than Overwatch. Then Red Dead Redemption 2 with 50 million plus. Mario Kart 8 and Deluxe, 62.25 million. PUBG, 75 million people bought PUBG. Wow, that was a bigger craze than I thought it was. Four is Wii Sports, 82 million. Grand Theft Auto 5 is 375 million. Two, Minecraft, 238 million. And number one, Tetris, 520 million.
Tetris remains king.
I don't know that that'll ever be passed, because Tetris is still selling.
It's twice the amount.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine, because Minecraft and, I mean, it might get passed in like 50 years when, you know, video games are beamed into our brains by satellites.
That's right.
On Mars.
When, no, our life is the video game.
I mean, yeah. But anyway, so where did that mean it fell? It's now eighth. And the next game that it's tied with is, because we don't know the exact number, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I mean, that's actually pretty insane if you think about it. Like, yeah. I wonder how much of that is
good company.
Netflix inspired, like people watched it on Netflix, because like
I mean, it only got like a 5 or 10 million bump, and that was several years, like that was many years after release.
I know, but like still 50 million for, I mean, and like that's more than Skyrim, which has been re-released.
Skyrim isn't even on the top 10,
which has been re-released so many times, and people always talk about Skyrim being like this monolith of you know, perpetual sales.
It's like a universally loved game.
So 11, 12, and 13, they have listed, even though this is only a top 10 list. It's Pokemon Gen 1 is 47 million. Terraria is 44 million, which I cannot believe Terraria has sold 44 million. And then 13 is Animal Crossing New Horizons, which only came out like a year ago.
The thing
is,
you can't even buy new copies of the Generation 1 Pokemon game. So I doubt 47 million will ever even move.
No, it won't. It'll always be, you know, it's only going to go down when the next Grand Theft Auto.
When you think about that, holy crap. 47 million at like the, I mean, we all know like Pikachu is like a cultural icon, but like that is crazy for like a 90s, 2000s era.
Yeah, but I mean, Animal Crossing New Horizons has sold more than, I can't believe that is 13. Like, anyway, Witcher 3, well done. I hope The Witcher 4 can deliver. I worry that in the era of how Cyberpunk 2077 came out and all the other things going on with games not releasing on time and not being an unbuggy
mess. I'm sure they'll take extra care.
I hope so, but I guess we'll see how Phantom Liberty goes for Cyberpunk when that comes out as their next game.
Need more information on that. Did you say they announced like a world tour to like reveal the DLC, but it's just European cities? It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a... Honestly, Cyberpunk was tied with Xbox at E3 in the past years before it came out.
I'd love if they talk about it this week at the Xbox showcase.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be there, or it'll be there and at Summer Game Fest, because I wonder if they're just going to start their world tour with two teases, and then they'll have their own big like showcase where they do a bunch of gameplay or something. That kind of seems like their mantra. I'm expecting a lot of stuff like that, stuff we know is coming this year that we haven't got dates on, like Fallout 4 next gen update. I'm pretty sure they're going to drop that on the 11th and be like, hey, the update's here. It's coming out today or tomorrow. Go
play.
Did
you see there's a rumor that the Starfield controller and headset might just be available on June 11th?
Oh, I forgot to put that in the show notes that, yeah, we saw leaked boxes and some other rumors about those.
But we don't know if it's going to look like the one that was leaked previously. It's possible.
It was on the box.
Oh, really?
The leaked box was the controller that we saw and talked about on the show like a month or two ago. So that controller does appear to be real. The question now is the release date. Almost all times, the controller has released at the same time as the game. The notable exception is Cyberpunk 2077. Hardware is harder to delay than software, so they went ahead and put out the console and the controller a year or more before the game.
It was a year, yeah.
And I don't think that didn't...
Because it was the original. It was the original release date.
Yep.
And then that was kept for the hardware, but yeah, not the software. Never forget.
I think it's going to be available to pre-order.
Traded my Cyberpunk controller in.
Oh, I forgot about it. I didn't know you traded it in.
Yeah, I traded.
Oh wait, you traded that for the Elite.
Yeah, Series 2. Yeah. Yep. No regrets on that.
Man, we're gonna have so much to talk about next week. I'm so excited. Okay. Number six, I'm going to combine number six and number seven into Game Pass additions, subtractions, and games with gold. So available now, these are games that were added in the last week. Chicory, A Colorful Tale, Farworld Pioneers, which was available day one with Game Pass. Car Mechanic Simulator 21 was June 1st. Slayer's X Terminal Aftermath Vengeance of the Slayer was a day one release. What a title. Slayer's, plural, X Terminals Aftermath : Vengeance of the Slayer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words in that title and 2 colons. What game title has 2 colons? 2 colons.
They must be trying to be like a meme or something.
You should look up the cover art for that, Spencer, and report back.
Is Vengeance spelled wrong on purpose?
That's how they spelled it in the blog. That's a copy.
So they did spell it wrong.
No, that's how it is in the title. It's not
that's
spelled wrong
saying.
If it's the title. It's a proper noun.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. That's just how it's spelled.
And The Big Con is the other game that is now available.
G-A-N-C-E.
Yeah. And then coming up.
Literally none of these games are... These are all... What? What in the world are these games? This is a bad
Okay,
drop.
Let me finish. Yeah, this is a lesser drop. Upcoming June 6th, we have Amnesia the Bunker and Hypnospace Outlaw. Then on June 8th, we have Rune Factory 4 Special and also Stacking. And then Dordogne. That last one is a joke. June 13th, that's available day one on Game Pass. That's Dordogne, which is why I mispronounced it on. It's I have no idea how to actually pronounce that because I'm a Neanderthal. But Spencer, this is where you're supposed to help me. How do you pronounce that?
Man,
I feel like
I
you have a better
know.
Chance at it than me. Okay,
well. Dordogne, is that what you said?
That's what I said the first time, and then I made fun of it
I
and called
it's
Dordogne.
It's probably Dordogne. I don't know.
Okay, and then leaving June 5th, we have Bridge Constructor Portal, Chorus, Maneater, Mortal Shell, Serious Sam 4, Total War 3 Kingdoms, which is a PC-only title.
R.I.P.
Couple
Maneater.
Of decent ones in there. Maneater's awesome.
That game was amazing. That was like the first... It's like the only game that I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I 100%ed in the last like 3 years.
And that you... like also a game you never would have played if it wasn't on Game Pass.
Correct. Such a fun game. You should play it if you haven't.
I have.
It leaves.
I played the first like 3 or 4
Everybody
like, boss
should
areas.
Play it. Everybody should play that game before it leaves. It's amazing.
You only have
shark.
A week and a half-ish. And then Games with Gold, as I said, is Adios is available now. And The Veil, Shadow of the Crown is coming June 16th to July 15th. I haven't heard of either of those. Okay, and then to end the show, I had just some notes on looking forward. So Summer Game Fest is this Thursday, June 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then Xbox Games Showcase is June 11th, which is Sunday, this next Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It will be followed immediately by the Starfield Direct, which those two combined are supposed to be 2 hours. And I bet Summer Game Fest will also be 2 hours, but I don't know that for sure. I'm expecting, based on the teases last week, which I don't think we talked about on the show last week, they are heavily teasing Fable. They put out a little video teaser on their Twitter, Xbox did, where it had a musical interlude that is from or reminiscent of Fable. And then they had a little gold like pixie dust trail to follow like the game did for the narrative like story map guide thing. So I expect Fable will be revealed with either a CGI trailer or some gameplay. And then Fallout 4 Series X and S enhancements, I'm pretty sure we'll either get a date or an imminent release on that. Forza Motorsport, we should definitely see gameplay and release date on that. We know we're getting a bunch on Starfield. Hopefully we get some updates on other games that are, Avowed, Contraband.
I bet Contraband, yeah.
Perfect Dark. I don't think we're going to see Perfect Dark. I think no. Contraband, maybe. Avowed, honestly, I feel like Avowed's farther away. Oh, you know what we could see?
Avowed or Outer Worlds 2.
Outer Worlds 2 or Hellblade 2. Hellblade 2 seems 2, really far along. Yeah. And then hopefully some surprises, some third-party stuff. Some second party or third party exclusives, or even just announcements, even if they're also coming to PlayStation. Doesn't need to be exclusive as long as it's cool. Gus, Spencer, anything you guys are hoping to see that you think is actually like realistic? You don't need to say Red Dead Redemption 3. We all know we all want that.
GTA
it's not
6.
Gonna be there. Is realistic, except for they've always held their own events. They never go to anyone else's party.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 4.
Half-Life
console
3.
Exclusive.
Or is it 2?
3.
3 is the infamous. They left 2 with a cliffhanger and didn't resolve it.
Maybe we'll see something for something more for Elder Scrolls. I doubt it.
No, yeah.
Honestly,
they would get lampooned. If they even threw up a logo for it, they would get lampooned.
I want something Fallout related that isn't 76 or 4 next gen. I don't care about the 4 next gen. I could not care any less about anything Fallout than that. Like, I would play 76 again before I would play the next gen Fallout 4. I just don't care.
Well, see, that is the difference, is I'm saving all the DLC that I haven't played, so I'll just play the DLC on the next gen version.
Welcome to 2016, 7 years late, Tim. Congratulations.
I like to play old games in mixed with my new.
No, but I'm seriously, though, I want something Fallout. I want New Vegas remastered. I want Fallout 1 and 2 on Xbox somehow. I don't know what I want. Fallout 3 remastered, something. There's got to be something. It can't be 2030 before we see Fallout again. It just can't.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Let's all make predictions. How many games do we get trailers for that are live service games that are like getting new content drops? Like, do you feel like they're going to drop something? Sea of Thieves.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Like, but how many? Take a guess. Because they usually do Grounded, Sea of Thieves, Forza, State of Decay. Like, what are other ones?
So many things I don't care about.
Halo, multiplayer, like... There's at least 7 or 8 ongoing Xbox games that I feel like they waste these showcases giving us updates on because they're trying to drive traffic to those games.
Yeah, they waste like 20 minutes.
But like the only people that care about the updates to those games are people already playing those
games. Yeah, and that's
fine. Most of the time it doesn't draw in new customers.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is some amount of new customers, but it kind of takes the momentum out of the room when they're like, hey, here's a new update on Contraband. But before we get to Starfield, we'd love to show you the new update coming to Grounded. This time we've added baby hedgehogs to avoid in the backyard. Baby hedgehogs. And you're like, cool.
I don't know. I feel like this is the showcase where a lot of stuff gets revealed, or we get actual gameplay of stuff. Because there's so much that's in the ether that we don't know about. And that we do know about, but we don't know much about. Like Indiana Jones is another, Wolfenstein 3, I feel like is a possibility, maybe.
That one does feel like a real
possibility. Well, I guess if they're too busy on Indiana Jones, then maybe Wolfenstein 3, because Wolfenstein 2 didn't sell that well. even though people liked it, that they probably were just like, well, we can do Wolfenstein 3 maybe eventually. You know?
But I feel like they might have more than one team because they also did Youngblood while they were working on DLC for 2, and Youngblood was, ugh. Did you see there was a report? So, what's his name? Not Jeff Keighley. What's the guy at Bloomberg?
Jason Schreier.
Jason Schreier. He did his report on what happened behind the scenes of Redfall. Yeah. And one of the things that came out of that was apparently there was a phase at Bethesda where they were trying to find ways to get recurring monetization into all their games after seeing what had happened with GTA Online and Fortnite. And that's why we got things like Youngblood. Because that was their attempt at how do we get microtransactions and cosmetics into Wolfenstein. And you can see that kind of as a through line in that era of Bethesda, right? We had Fallout 76, we had Wolfenstein.
And Redfall was started in 2018.
We had Redfall. And it originally, apparently, based on his reporting, Redfall was a microtransaction filled game. Only late in development did they pull out all the microtransactions and make it completely single slash co-op without like microtransactions. But do you think we hear about Redfall at all? I think if they're smart, the answer is no, but I hope they're not
probably
like, hey, here's the big new update to Redfall with our first DLC.
No, I don't think so.
So, final thought here. I'm prepared to be disappointed by everything. I'm expecting to see Starfield and one or two other really cool things.
I feel like
the rest is going to be a letdown. Because, and the reason I think that is because PlayStation
was also
had their big showcase, and it was a pretty big letdown. The only thing they really had to show from first party was Spider-Man, and that's PlayStation, the leader, the number one, you know, first party game maker. Well, maybe number two, depending on how you look at Nintendo, but you know what I mean.
They're known for their games. I feel like Xbox has more irons in the fire right now than.
I just feel like they're all so far out, even though we've been waiting.
Maybe some of them aren't. I don't know. I think to me, it's like I'm going to be excited with what I see of Starfield that it'll cover any blights. I think what I see of Starfield and Forza, those two things will be enough to me where it's like if everything else sucks, it's like, well, it was still a win because of those two. That's the way I'm seeing it, I think.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, they've teased Fable already. So if they can modernize Fable to make it a good RPG... Which is a big if, because Fable is basically one good game.
It's a very 2000s feeling game.
Yes. And it's like one good game, one pretty good game, and one not great game. So like, and then a couple of Kinect games that were bad. So
2
like,
was really good. 3 was eh. And
one was pretty good. One and two are both solid. 3 is meh. You're right. It's very 2000. So how do you modernize that? There's a lot to be done.
Yeah. 2 was the controls. 2 was really fun.
Like, the graphics and the controls and somewhat the storytelling need to be updated. But what you can't change is the tone and the comedy and the tone of it. So, it's a tightrope walk they have to do there, and I hope they nail it. It's the same thing with Perfect Dark, right? That's a very of-its-time game.
Yeah.
And you almost are better completely going blank slate and making it a new thing and just still calling it Perfect Dark and having a few of the narrative elements. Yeah, I do feel that way, too. I don't think we see much of Perfect Dark, though. I think that game is still really far away. And I hope they've learned from Redfall and some of these other games to, like, just hold it. Just hold it. If it isn't going to get you a 9 out of 10 in reviews, just hold it. Yeah. Okay. Gus, Spencer, any final thoughts? Spencer, you're not going to be here next week.
Nope.
I might ask you to text me a few, like, thoughts. So that we can include them since it
is
the big showcase. And we'll see if we can get a guest on next week. I don't have anybody in mind, because I really want to get somebody that knows Xbox if they're gonna be on for the showcase. And the people that I was thinking of are all in other ecosystems primarily. So I don't think it would be as fun. So we'll see. We'll see what I dig up. That's it for this week. Thanks for being here, Spencer. We will miss you next week.
Yep, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
I'm Gus Harden. If you have any questions for me, you can tweet at MultiformPod on Twitter.com, owned and operated by Elon Musk.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.